All right. Well, today we're continuing in the series of Jesus Is, and we're going to look at the book in the New Testament towards the end of 2 Peter. Peter wrote two books in the New Testament, and it carries his heart for the kingdom. And we're going to look at a few things today. Reviewing last week, as we looked at 1 Peter last week, it said Jesus. We talked about him being the living hope that we're born again into, that we can be born again into the hope. What's that hope? The hope to live with Jesus the rest of our life. If we didn't have that hope, what do you want to do? Just die? Be like an animal? Just die? No, we want to live with Christ forever and ever. And so we're born again into that living hope. And that the other thing we talked about, 2 Peter, you know, Peter was pretty close to Jesus. And he uses the word precious 5 or 6 times in his two epistles. And I talked about things that were precious to me in my life, and things that are precious to me now. And, you know, Jesus was really, really precious to Peter, to the point where he said, I don't want to die the same way he died. I don't deserve that. And he wanted to die a different way, tradition tells us. But he had such a love. He was like the Apostle John. John was found laying his head on the chest of Jesus. And Peter was, I believe, the same way. He had given up so many things. And God turned that behemoth, if you want to say, personality of Peter's, like, I'm never going to deny you. Oh, no, I never heard him. No. No, I never knew him. And then he swore, it says, I never knew him. But the Holy Spirit came into his life and turned him around and became one of the greatest apostles on the planet. Isn't that great? God, his job is to turn our hearts towards him. Amen? Do I really need to say that, Lord? I had a nickname in college. It was called Mean Mouth. I had a mean mouth, but God turned it around. I got born again and filled with the Spirit. Now I have a good mouth. Amen. Yeah, God's about that's God's job. He's about changing us to make us closer to Him. Right? I remember somebody preaching early on in my Christian walk that we need to be little Jesuses, right? And that's the only way to do it is we'd get drawn to Him. So Peter, that's Peter, and so we're gonna go through an introduction. And some encouragements. I couldn't get past the first chapter. I read this book all week this week, and I couldn't get past the first chapter. So that's where we're going to hang out, is in 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're just going to look at the introduction, which is the first 4 verses of 2 Peter. Are you ready? All right, so here it is. Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, by the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2. And grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. And as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain, his power has given to us some things. No, that's not loud enough. Some things. All things. All right. He's given to us all things. Yeah, we're very interactive here, guys, so feel free, okay? through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, verse 4, and by which he's given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of his nature, having escaped the world, the corruption that's in the world through lust. So may God add a blessing to the teaching and reading of his word. So let's go back to verse 1. Very important. Jesus said a lot of really great one-liners. But he said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, what do you have to do? Be a servant of all. And this is how Peter became great in verse 1. Peter, not just an apostle, but before his apostleship, he was a servant. And if we want to be great in the kingdom of God, Jesus said, be a servant of all. How can I help? How can I help? How can I help you? Okay, that needs to be all of us. So that's the key to Peter's success as an apostle, was he was a servant. And then goes on in that verse, to those who have obtained a like precious faith. Now, I think it's interesting, in the New Testament, the entire New Testament, the word precious is mentioned 15 times, but 8 of them are in the two epistles of Peter. Because that's how precious God was to Peter, that he would write and say precious. Precious faith. Is our faith in Jesus Christ precious to it? Because if it is, we're going to guard it. And we're going to nurture it. And we're going to build it. You're here today because you've got a precious faith. People don't come to this house unless you got some faith. Wanting to grow in that faith. And understanding how precious our faith in Jesus is. Okay? The next line in this introduction is in verse 2. Where it says this. And it says, grace and peace be multiplied. Now, I don't know about you, but I liked math. I still like math. I'm not quite as good at it as I used to be. But if you take 2 and add 2, you get 4. And if you add 4, you get 2 more, you get 6. And you add 2 more, you get 8. What about multiplying? You multiply 2 times 2, you get 4. And then the next one, 4 times 2 is 8. And 8 times 2 is 16. So multiplying versus adding doubled the number just in 4 digits. And see, that's grace and peace. That God wants us to have more than enough grace and peace for our life. Okay? When we go through tough times, you know, it's easy to preach grace and peace when everything's going good, when the checkbook's okay, when your body's feeling pretty good, you get up in the morning, don't have any headaches, or, you know, you go to work and everybody's happy, nobody's barking at you, and you did everything right the last week. You know, it's really great to be happy, but what about when all those things go haywire? Come on, somebody say amen. Yeah. That's when we need that extra measure of grace and peace multiplied to us so that we can walk those things out correctly, right? And moving on in that segment is that grace and peace would multiply unto you in the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I was thinking about the knowledge. And I picked up my Bible. I had this, I don't know, 35 years. The writings in it are getting a little faded, and they're really small. I used a very fine point tip pen. But there's just some precious things that I have written in here about growing in grace. You got to want to grow in grace. You got to want to grow in peace, in the knowledge of Jesus. So we want to keep this up. So that's what Peter was doing. Keep up that growing in grace. And then moving on to verse 3. And it says, his divine power. Now, this word power here is the same Greek word in Acts chapter 2 when the disciples, especially Peter vehemently denied his Savior and his Lord. And yet, when the power in the Greek is, guess, dunamis, Acts chapter 2, when Holy Spirit came unto all the disciples, it changed them drastically. I went from being a mean mouth to a holy mouth, better than it used to be. But Peter, look at what happened to Peter. Peter denied him vehemently 3 times, yet he got up in Acts chapter 2 and he preached, and 3,000 people got saved. Nah, that's a little bit different than the first Peter, wasn't it? Huh? Yeah. This was the born again, the power-filled Peter. His divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that through knowing Jesus, knowing God, who called us by glory and virtue. So that power is released to us, and we need it for life. Verse 4. By which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. How many of you really like it if somebody promises you something and they fulfill it and they do it? Yeah, I like that. I like when somebody promises you something and they disappear. Kind of stings a little bit sometimes, right? Well, I'm sure thankful that God is a promise keeper. Amen. He is a promise keeper by which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. How many promises? 7,000. Thank you very much. There's actually more than that, but some of them are not directed at man, and I won't go into all that. But anyway, there's 7,000 promises in this book. I maybe can, if you said, well, how many do you know? If you asked me that, I could rattle off maybe a dozen or two real quick. That means I'm about 6,900 and some odd short. So we can spend the rest of our life just looking at the scriptures and going, oh, that's a cool promise. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Isn't it great? God's a loving Father. Great day. Great story to talk about God as Father. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling. Let me say that. That's a promise. Everyone say, that's a promise. That's a promise. Now unto him, God, who's able to keep you from falling. How's he keep us from falling? Well, he whispers to you, or he'll send your wife to go, don't do that. Or a brother or a sister, you know, nudge it. No, you can't be doing that, right? That's how we're going to live. Live by those promises, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through those promises, we would become partakers. What's the word partaker? Join with, right? You're joined with them, that partaker. See if I got a different definition down here. Yeah, I don't have it there. But anyway, sharing. Sharing in his divine nature. Yeah, that's the word I want to say. That you might share his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. So, praise the Lord. I know that was one of my, I've got this really underlined. This is one of my earlier verses that I memorized, and I just couldn't get past it, that are like precious faith. Having given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. So we can spend the rest of our life discovering those promises. All right, let's go on to the next part of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. We're going to read 2 Peter 3:18 before we get into the rest of chapter 1. But chapter 3, verse 18 says this, but grow. Everyone say grow. You remember that old Bible school song, grow, grow, grow? It just came to me, so. Da, 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 da. Merrily. Okay, all right. She missed it, yeah. Huh? Anyway, grow in what? Grow in grace. Grow in knowledge. You're here today because you want to grow in his grace and his knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's an exhortation that God wants to grow, and he's committed to helping us grow. When we had kids, and we've got grandkids, and some maybe have some great-grandkids, we want them to grow. We don't want them to stay the same. I don't want little Ivy to be 3 months old. You know, I'd like to see her grow and become mature and become functional in the kingdom of God. Yeah, we want to grow. Well, God's no different. He wants every one of us to grow in him. And Mary and I challenge each other all the time. Are you stronger this week than you were last week? Have you grown more this week than you did last week? We need to keep doing that. We need to keep moving. Let's not take a step backward. So growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. So there's seven things in this first chapter that we'll look at that will help us to grow. And I love this in the Message Bible. So we're going to read through it, and then we'll preach a couple things on it and finish. So don't lose 1 minute building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith. Okay, so what's basic faith? Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, and he's the only way to heaven. Basic faith, right? So, but there's things to add to that. You know, it's like, I don't want to drink milk as the only thing in my life anymore, as a little baby does. You know, you want real sustenance. You know, I want one of Rod's steaks. From Buffalo, the Buffalo steak guy. So I said, don't lose 1 minute. Don't fail at this. Building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with these things. Good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience. Whew, I've never seen those two words together. Reverent wonder, warm friendliness, generous love, each dimension fitting and developing the others. Verse 8, with these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow on your feet, no day will pass without its reward, as you mature in your experience of Master Jesus. How could I not stop and preach on this? Come on. Yeah, this is awesome. All right, Brother Larry, let's go back to verse 5. Good character. Well, you could be a good character, but then you want to have good character. There's a difference there, right? Yeah, now Joe, when he's looking for people to work in the kingdom, he wants them to have good character. Because you can't go on the mission field and be functional without good character. Right? Good character. Define character. I've got it written right here. Moral qualities, integrity, honesty, responsibility, the can-do and will-do attitude. He wants to recruit people to the kingdom of God in that work who say, I can do that. And if I can't do that, teach me to do that. Right? That's partly what I'm doing here is helping you, helping to teach, helping to encourage and build up to do and be better character. Character is worth everything. Matter of fact, give me a half a second here. Yeah, I can't find what I was thinking of. Anyway, so all right. So the first thing of these seven is adding to our basic faith with good character. All right. Number two is spiritual understanding, and what's spiritual understanding? That means that we can comprehend and use good judgment. You know, when I was growing up, and I did stupid things, my dad didn't get mad at me for doing the wrong thing. Never. He didn't come up, you did the wrong thing. No, he'd sit me down and says, you didn't use good judgment here, bub. There's a difference. One's telling you one thing and one's encouraging you to not do it again. See, you made a mistake. No, he just says, you didn't use good judgment. You're going how fast? That's not good judgment. I remember the time when I turned 16. It was on a Thursday night. I said, Lord, do I have to tell this story? And it came back to me. So I got to tell the story. 16. Just turned 16. What do you want to do? Go for a drive. Go visit your girlfriend. Okay, Thursday night. What time can I be home? 10 o'clock? I said, hey, wait a minute. I'm 16. I need 11. Argued with him a little bit. And guess who won? Not me. Sit down, 15 minutes, cool off. Got up. I took off after that door, and I used to really be good at hitting that lever of that screen door and taking a fast step out. But that night, I was one fraction off. Bam! And I hit that door, and he said, sit down for another half hour, or you're not going nowhere. Got spanked that day. I shouldn't be telling this with these kids in the audience, but anyway, he said, you didn't use good judgment. See, that's one thing we want to do. We want to be people who comprehend and use good judgment. All right, number three, having an alert discipline. Now, I think alert discipline, we could apply this to a lot of things. In the natural, if we're teaching young people to drive an automobile, they ought to have alert disciplines, right? I really feel strongly about that, having this alert discipline. But anyway, an alert discipline is the pathway from the goal to the end, being alert at what the end is and how to get there. Okay? If we want to grow in the grace and the wisdom of our Lord Jesus, you come to church, you worship, you study your Bible every day, if you can, right? So that's an alert discipline. That's what Peter says. The next thing is a passionate patience. Like I said, I've never seen those two words written together until I read this in the Message Bible. Having a passionate patience. You know, that's good for us because we need to understand that we can keep our passion for what we're believing God for until it comes to pass. Remember, faith. Faith believes. That's point A. And what you're believing God for when it comes to pass is point B. You believe for something, and it comes to pass. But in between A and B is a passionate patience. We need to, it's really good. So we need to have passion about that patience when we're waiting on God. Can I have an amen from somebody? And then I thought about this song. Now, I'm going to, not song, but this phrase. I'm going to say something and see if anybody recognizes what movie this comes from. I don't quote movies very often, but this was really good. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Does it ring a bell with anybody? No. Close. Ford versus Ferrari. Remember? Carroll Shelby and what's his face was going around getting ready to pass. And he's just standing there, miles away from him. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Now! Because there was a second moment in time where he could upshift and go around that curve. Obviously, we just watched that again the other night. Talk about passionate patience. Sitting there at all the things that go into that moment for him to do that. The same way with us. There's certain things that we have to wait for that patience, that moment to do certain things. Passionate patience. All right, next thing. A reverent wonder. Let's never lose our wonder of God. He is wonderful. What he has created and given to us is wonderful. And we should never lose the wonder of how wonderful what God has given to us. And then the vision of heaven. How wonderful is heaven going to be? I'm not going to have a stiff knee. I'm not going to have to worry about runny noses and those kind. Think of heaven. Think of how wonderful heaven is going to be. And why wouldn't you want to go there? Somebody needs their head examined if they don't care about going to heaven. I was talking to somebody recently, asking about, you know, where they grew up and all that. And said, were you a part of the church world at all? No. Did you ever go to church as a kid? No. My heart split right down the center. Just split. I was drugged. I got drugged to church. Good thing. Drag them to church. Get them there. Sooner or later, it might turn into a preacher, right? And so I'm looking and waiting and praying for another opportunity to say, well, let me introduce you to something about church you've never heard. It's a person. God, Jesus Christ. So I'm waiting for that door to open. Reverent wonder, an intentional journey with God. Never lose the wonder. That's Mary's quote. That's why I put M-E-U there. That was Mary's quote. Never lose the wonder of how wonderful he is. He's wonderful. I mean, I get up in the morning and I tell Mary how wonderful she is, but I need to tell God how wonderful he is and how much I appreciate him, all right? So these are just basic things about Jesus. Okay, two more things. Warm friendliness. You know, Peter being genuine. We want to be genuine with people, you know, and real. I don't think this is going to be confidential, release in confidence, but I had a patient in the office one day. I walked in, did my usual greeting. Female sitting down, shook her hand, and she broke down in tears right in front of my eyes, right there. In the dentist's office. Now, some people might cry in the dentist's office for other reasons. Right? I had to do that. I said, I don't think we're going to work on teeth today. I rolled my chair over and said, what can I do for you? And she just told me some things because she knew I could hold them in confidence. And I said, can I pray for you? Yeah. What's that worth? What's that worth, being ready at any time to help somebody that's hurting? That's what we should do, because we've got the healer on the inside of us, right? His name is Jesus. That's one of his names. We sing about him being healer. There's people walking around that are busted and hurting and broken and beat up and beat the schmithereens, as Bugs Bunny used to say, schmithereens. No, it was Sylvester. But anyway, they need Jesus to heal them. Yeah. And we carry that with us. So warm friendliness. And the last thing is generous love. I love that. Why? Because love never fails. Generous love. Each dimension fitting into and developing the others. See, so those seven things. So I pray that God would, Holy Spirit would come this week and help you work some of these things out in life and make a difference in the planet. Amen? Let's stand. Well, Jesus, you gave us a load today, so help us by your Spirit to take a thought or two. Holy Spirit, you're really good at reminding us about things, so remind us when we're going about our day and our week, Lord, this week, Lord, about being genuine and loving and caring and all these things that are attributes that come from the kingdom. And, Lord, that we would be even better humans in the kingdom of God. And, Lord, so we thank you for that. And just receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' precious name. And everybody shouted amen. Amen, 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 and amen. Okay, God bless you, love you, have a great week.